Yeah, that's right. Flula, milkman, party times!
Live from Brookings, South Dakota, not San Luis Obispo this week, it's Hurricane Scrog. I am J.D. Scroggin, your co-host for the day. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main. Owen, how's it going?
I don't have like a wind pod drop for that. I need to get like a like the hurricane's blowing.
Oh, yes,
blowing.
Like a drop.
Yeah,
I need to make that happen. There's a hurricane coming through. I say that to you sometimes, right?
Yeah, like all the time.
Like if I see you walking in.
Yeah, all the
like
time.
What will happen? Like say we're in the press box and then you walk in.
Like at Baggett Stadium.
Yes.
Yeah, like
then
people
what happens?
Are.
You describe.
CJ Silas is trying to like announce a player's name. And in the background, probably everybody hears, there's a hurricane blowing through.
And it's you.
And it's me. Yeah. You're like my own personal announcer. In the press area, like every time I walk in, you're like, and now 6'2" out of Cayucas, California.
Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of feels like that. So yes. It's awesome.
6'2" with abnormally short
200,
arms.
240 pounds with abnormally short arms. The athlete of the century.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so we are here in, like I said, Brookings, South Dakota, which is the site of, well, it's not the site.
We're in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I forgot. We're actually in Sioux Falls. So I should have said Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's too late for that now, I guess. We'll be in Brookings shortly, which is the site of Cal Poly's football game, week 2, against South Dakota State.
Yeah, their first game against the FCS team this year. So that should be a good time to see how they fare. They played a not great FBS team last week. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see whether South Dakota State's actually better than New Mexico State, because I think they might be. And Cal Poly's got to bring their A game to stay in it. South Dakota State did great against Missouri last week for like three quarters, right?
Yeah, they very well could be better than Mexico State. It's funny you'd say that, because like South Dakota State is a fringe top 10 FCS team. And those top 10 FCS teams are usually ahead of, you know, the bottom 20, 25 of the FBS a lot of the times.
Which New Mexico State certainly has been the last number of years.
Yes.
For
They're
sure.
expected to also be on the bottom. Once again. Despite beating Cal Poly, they're probably still going to be on the
you
bottom.
You think?
New Mexico
Cal
State?
Poly hopes not.
Cal Poly hopes not, but yeah.
And the fans hope not.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be that
it's
way.
It's likely. They're
likely
probably going to be still on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you want to read JD's preview, actually, JD is probably game story because this will probably get posted on Sunday, maybe Saturday night. But if you want to read any of JD's writing, you
yes.
can find him at sanluisobispo.com, the Tribune website. So that's good. And so what are your impressions of Sioux Falls so far?
You know what? When we were flying in, I thought it was gorgeous. Like the last time I came here in 2008, I think it was, when the last time Cal Poly played South Dakota State, I flew in like the dark of night. So I didn't see anything of Sioux Falls other than just the airport and driving away. But today, yesterday when we flew in, it was like, you know, I expected to fly down and see like just flat, barren plains and dirt and, you know, maybe
fields.
Yeah, fields of wheat. And then we fly.
Wheat and grain.
Yeah, we come down under the clouds and I look down and there's like trees everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, this place is gorgeous, you know? Like a part of me even wonders, like, I wonder how hard it is to make a living in this town.
I mean,
I'd move here, but
yeah.
I could. I guess it's a possibility.
I mean, and you know, cost of living in the Midwest is a little bit less usually than where we are out on the coast there on the West Coast. And I think probably in the wintertime, it probably does look a little more barren. I think we're just kind of right at that sweet spot at the beginning of the fall, before like all the leaves are changing. You know, before the leaves are falling off. The golf course out here nearby looks in amazing shape. I kind of wish I would have brought my golf clubs too. And I guess this is really the time of the year. If you're going to go visit a Dakota, this is the time of the year to go do
yes.
it, I would imagine.
Prime vacation time, you guys. Come see a Dakota. That should be
visit.
The slogan.
Visit a Dakota.
Visit a Dakota.com. It's not snowy yet.
Like it's like visit like shareslow.com. This is like
yes.
visit Dakota.com. Do it now. Well,
visit a Dakota, it has to say, I think.
Okay. Or the Dakotas.
No.
Not both
visit
of them.
Visit a Dakota.
You get one or
the
other.
One or the other, yes. You can't have both.
That's fantastic. I haven't seen
Then you create bidding wars for your services
for one Dakota.
One Dakota to the other.
Why are there two Dakotas?
Well, this is an interesting story. I don't know the story behind two Dakotas, but this is an interesting story. I went in 2008. I came to South Dakota State for a game, and then the next year in 2009, I went to North Dakota for a game, which is in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I remember flying in. When you drive to Sioux Falls, and you'll find this out, when you drive from Sioux Falls to Brookings, which we're going to do today to go to the South Dakota State game, you'll see it's just barren, flat, like, land between here and there. And so when I made that first drive in 08, I was like, this kind of reminds me of driving through, like, the Central Valley in California, where there's just it's just flat.
Like 99.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Totally, 99 from, like, Merced to Fresno. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. I kind of had an affinity for that because I'm from that area. And the next year,
go ahead, keep going.
The next year, I was going to Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I remember flying in on the plane, and the guy sitting next to me was from Grand Forks. And he was like, oh, have you ever been out here before? He knew I was from California. We were having a little conversation. I was like, well, I've been to, you know, I went to Brookings last year. And he was like, oh, yeah, well. He was basically trash talking Grand Forks, saying how much better Brookings was. And he was trying to say, like, I don't know why, but he was like down on his hometown and he was propping up South Dakota over North Dakota.
Okay.
And
well, I mean, South Dakota has the Black Hills. Like, there's a lot more. I mean, like, South Dakota's got some cool stuff. It's really pretty to drive through. I don't know how much, like, I drove from Colorado to the other side of South Dakota, Rapid City, and that was just like an amazing drive, like through like some canyons, and there's just really cool stuff to see.
Well, you've got this self-hating North Dakotan, and we're on the descent, and he's telling me how much better South Dakota is than North Dakota, and I was like, well, you know, I don't remember being like super great, just to try and, you know, trying to make him not feel so bad about his own hometown. I was like, well, you know, it was pretty flat, you know, it kind of reminded me of the valley back home, and he was like, oh wow, I mean, he's like, yeah. That's rolling hills compared to Grand Forks.
Awesome. Well, we're here, and I'm excited to see how and whether Cal Poly, you know, can kind of start to turn things around. They didn't look great in the second half last week. I'm actually gonna hopefully tape a fansmanship podcast with Tom Barquette today before the game.
Cal Poly Mustangs.
Yep. And I haven't seen a lot of cyclists out here, and it's kind of the prime cycling season too. Everybody's trying to get in. I ride my bike from time to time.
Maybe you can talk to Bird about that.
Yeah, I could talk to Eric Burdick about that. Yeah. But one of the things that happened to me recently that I wanted to, and this isn't going to be like a super long version of our podcast because there's a lot of stuff going on today.
Okay, but hold on. Let's tease what we got to talk about, because I want to ask you. Yeah. We had some airport stories. We got to go through airports. Like,
okay.
Anytime you go through the airport, we got to do airport stories. So we'll do that. I had a couple.
Okay.
There was one really stupid thing that kept happening. It was really ridiculous. And also, we have a slow news day segment as well that I want to do. That kind of fits into, maybe we can even start a new topic, because our potty talk last week, I got some good feedback from that. Like, one of the listeners told me that he really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That portion.
He was cracking up.
Yeah, so maybe we can do another segment and, you know, and keep the poop news going as well.
If
okay. Poop news doesn't have to be the name of the segment. But like,
I think it has to be the name of the segment. So as both to tease exactly what it is, but also to warn people potentially about the depths of humanity that we're exploring. Yes. in poop news.
Yeah.
And we can even have a song for it or something. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I can figure something out that way. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, using phrases like whip it up and talking about poop news, you know, that doesn't really go together.
We'll whip up some poop news.
No.
Okay. So, but go ahead. Talk about, because there was a controversial discussion on your Facebook this week about cycling.
Yeah.
This is what you're trying to
this
get
what
into.
I'm trying to
but
segue.
We need to pump it up. We need to pump it up. Like, this isn't just, you know, I didn't see any cyclists today.
No,
this
but
is
like
we're going to hit you hard.
I ride
right
my
now.
Bike. I ride my bike a lot.
Yes.
Right.
We're going to hit you hard right now with a controversial discussion
about cycling.
About cycling.
There you go.
And it's going to get crazy.
It's going to get real.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to get real, real, real fast.
So I ride my bike a lot, and I haven't ridden a lot lately, but I'm a big stickler to, like, the rules of the road when I ride my bike. I ride a lot on, like, Los Osos Valley Road. I ride to Avila, to Pismo from San Luis. I do the road up 227 to AG and then do that loop back down to Pismo and back home too. That's a fun one out to Lopez. I ride in places that have shoulders that are really good. I also ride in places that don't have really great shoulders. And, you know, one of the things you have to do is just be cognizant of like the cars that are around you. I'm that guy who has a helmet on always. I have a little mirror that attaches to my sunglasses, JD, so that I can see behind me, because if I'm on a road with no shoulder and I'm riding, you know, a little bit into the lane for a second, I want to be able to see cars, and I'm always checking. My eyes are always going up to it. And if there's a car coming, I move over. Like it's a system I have down pretty well. I can also hear cars pretty well. Like I don't wear earphones when I'm on roads like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to die riding my bike.
Owen is a rules geek. Rules, I was going to say rules nerd. Rules nerd or rules geek?
Either, yeah. A
what
stickler.
Do you prefer?
Stickler for the rules. Stickler. A rule follower. A rule follower.
But it's beyond just like follower. It's like we're getting into geek territory.
So people who don't follow the rules, and this is one thing with cycling, you know. I'll tell my whole story here. I'll tell my whole story because I need to.
If you don't follow the rules, you get hurt.
You get hurt or shamed, and you need to be shamed if not hurt.
Yes.
Because it's not about, you know, it's not about you getting hit or not by a car. It's about me driving a car, maybe hitting you or not. And there
Wait,
was
are
a,
you bringing up like the bicycle laws?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about them in a little
website?
Bit. I'm going to talk about them in a little
oh,
bit.
Okay. Sorry, that is some foreshadowing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just couldn't believe that you were bringing up bike laws on your
bike
your
rules
computer.
And bike laws. So I posted a
Let's
post.
Get to the juicy stuff.
Yeah, so
Tell
I'm driving
story.
To work. I'm driving to work on, I think it was Wednesday or Tuesday morning, and I come across a green light at the intersection close to my house. It's a funky intersection. It's the intersection of Madonna and Oceanair in San Luis Obispo.
I've been there.
It has like two frontage roads coming off of it. It's like a six-way intersection.
It's the most annoying. I can say this. Here, quote me on this. It's the most annoying intersection I've ever seen.
Right.
So anywhere.
So if you're like a cyclist or a walker, there's a lot of people who don't follow the rules in that area. But I'm coming off perpendicular, like off of Oceanair, onto turning right onto Madonna. And as I'm approaching, the light goes, it's green. And then I slow down. I saw this guy come out from my right side. So he's riding on the sidewalk on the left-hand side of Madonna. And he doesn't stop, even though he has a red light. And he crosses, no helmet, just going kind of slow as well, kind of pedaling in like a too high a gear for himself. Just kind of cruising, and I'm coming on trying to turn right, and I have a green light, so I slow down. I, you know, I'm not going to run the guy over, even though if I would have, I'm pretty sure he would have gone the one who had to pay for my truck damage. I think that's how the law works, but I'm not going to do that. So
we have the website tab open. That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. So he crosses. I wait till he crosses because I don't like to honk at people also when they're in the middle of a road, because I don't want to scare them and make them fall, right? That's something that I've seen
that's
before.
That's another rule everyone should follow.
Yeah,
don't honk at people in the road.
Yeah.
They might get scared and fall.
Or after you're...
We should make a list.
After you're...
Like, honestly, I'm honestly, we should make a list right now. Like, we should, from here to perpetuity, like...
Do's and don'ts?
Yeah, Owen's rules for life.
So if
and
you're going
to... This
gonna,
is one of them.
If like, you're going to honk at somebody, make it a toot-toot and do it after... You pass them after you're already past them, not when you're behind them and you're scaring them.
No, I think the best part would be my interpretation of your rules.
So okay,
like
fair
you
enough.
Say the rules, you say the rules, and then I just, because this is kind of my job. This is my job is to like observe something that happens and then boil it down to the lowest common denominator and then tell people in language that they can understand. This is kind of like the role duty of a journalist.
So according to the rules that are posted on bikeleague.org, which is the League of American Bicyclists, there are five rules of the road that they have. And this man, I believe, committed acts against at least three of these rules. And so I waited till he was past me. I honked at him. I looked at him and I kind of raised my hand like, what are you doing like this? Like it was one of these. And everybody in podcasting knows this is great podcasting when I'm describing gestures, but I just kind of raised my hand like, are you serious? And he turned around, and as I'm driving away, so I turned right onto Madonna because I had a green light, and
he
I'm
flipped you off.
I'm looking in my rearview mirror. He got off of his bike in the middle of the road still and flipped me off and stared me down and put his arms out like he wanted to fight me
and challenge you to a fight.
Challenged me to a duel.
Was
yeah
a duel or a fight?
I couldn't hear him. I was already driving away. I just saw him in my rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, number one, like, put your tail between your legs and go home. You almost got killed, and I didn't kill you. Yeah. Like, I made a choice not to, like.
You almost got killed in this 5 mile per hour.
I was a little late to work. Collision. I was a little late to work. I was going, and as he finished crossing, the light turned yellow. So, like, I needed to get across and into that intersection quickly. So there are a number of rules of the road that he broke, and I just wanted to break down a few of them because it really did piss me off on a lot of levels that he would then think that I'm the jerk for honking at him when in fact I'm letting him know that that's just not okay to go ahead and come across on the left-hand side of the road, no helmet, riding in the crosswalk. You know, you should walk your bike in the crosswalk is one of the rules that you have to have too. You know, if you're going to act like a walker, then you need to walk. If you're going to act like a car, then you can ride. Like that's the rule right there. And if there's a lane in between, that's what that's for.
Okay.
So number one, be predictable. He came out of a blind.
Wait, hold on. We're not gonna go. We're gonna seriously do like a whole thing on bike safety.
I'm just gonna do two or three. I'm just gonna do two or three because he broke these.
Already bad. Hold on. Let's give one of my rules though. So first, okay, I've titled this document "Owen's Rules for Life."
He has his computer out and he's got a doc.
Yes.
For life. Wow.
Owen's Rules for Life. Rule number one: don't honk at people while they're in the street. They might fall down. And I put in parentheses, unless the person stops and challenges you to a duel.
To a duel, yeah.
Then all bets are off.
What would be the gesture for challenging someone to a duel?
Well, again, the only time it used to be would like take off your gloves and slap the other person. Wasn't that
where you drop the glove? Don't you throw down the gauntlet? That's what the gauntlet is. Like your thing. So
yeah,
you throw
it. That's what they do
in
hockey too. But don't you slap the person with your glove? That's what it always was in like Looney Tunes. I know from life, I learned from Looney Tunes.
Tiny Toon Adventures.
Well, I think I was a little older for Tiny Toons, but Looney Tunes.
I watched some Tiny Toons.
And Disney's The Gummy Bears.
Maybe it's because I had little brothers and sisters, so they were all about some Tiny Toons themselves. So he wasn't predictable. He wasn't conspicuous. He didn't follow the law, okay? And so it turned it into me trying to say, hey, don't do that again, to me feeling like this guy needs to be taught a lesson. I didn't teach him a lesson, but I'm looking in my rearview mirror and – it really did just – I'm believing less and less in humanity every time somebody does something like this.
You immediately regretted not running him over, I think, is what the feelings that you were experiencing.
And this is the same intersection that last week we were walking across it and some guy who was texting almost hit my wife, my kid, and I, and I had a tripod in my hand. And I was in the crosswalk, and he was turning left across the crosswalk, like, and I had to like stop my wife and kid, and then the guy was already into the crosswalk before he saw us. I regretted not just taking a full tripod swing and knocking his taillight out, because again, I'm in the crosswalk, I'm protecting myself. Like, I don't know what, like, I feel like I would have been in the right both times, and people just need to get their head out of their ass in terms of like this intersection, and maybe just in terms of being aware of what's around them.
Yeah, this is like an epidemic, dude. This is like up there with global warming and and police violence and brutality and the drought. Hurricane adventures in the crosswalk.
You know, yeah, and I'm like hyper aware. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm like hyper vigilant about a lot of things. So like, I'm like,
I know you have lots of standards for.
I don't have
things.
Standards. I'm just hyper vigilant, and I expect other people to notice stuff that I notice. And I can't stand, like, when I text, I still know everything that's going on around me. Like when I'm sitting like in a crowded room and I'm like focused on my phone, I'm still listening and watching everything that's going on. Like, not that I can text and drive better than other people, but kind of.
Wait, what? No.
No.
You shouldn't text.
I don't.
And drive.
I don't. I said I could.
You should. How would you test that out, though? You know you can because you've already done it.
Well, it wasn't illegal for some time.
Oh, okay. As soon as it came illegal, you stopped?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And as soon as it was not safe anymore.
Okay. Just for everyone out there, don't text and drive.
No, don't. Don't. But
unless
I'm saying.
Unless you're Owen. That's rule number two. Don't text and drive. But Owen could do it better than you if it was legal.
And if he did, which he doesn't.
If it were legal.
So when I slow down to let you pass, cyclist guy, I'm just going to like finish this thought out. When I slow down to let you pass, and then honk at you to let you know that it's not okay. Don't get off your bike and don't stare at me. Don't stare me down like you want to fight me. You were wrong. I'm right. Put your embarrassed tail between your legs.
This caused quite a firestorm.
And go to wherever you're going.
This caused quite a firestorm on your Facebook page. I noticed it. I didn't have the interest level to read through all of the comments on your Facebook, but I did see that it was a firestorm.
So there was a guy named Denver.
What was the controversy?
There's a guy named Denver who I went to high school with. Okay. Incidentally, he lives in Denver now.
Yes.
Incidentally?
It doesn't sound – it sounds intentionally.
It could have been. I don't know. But Denver said, I ride my bike on the opposite side of the road so I can see cars coming, and helmets are for children. And so this caused a number of people to say, you know, you're dumb. Yeah. You should have Darwined this guy. I had that comment too.
Denver is not wrong. Helmets are for children.
And yeah, the children's helmets are for children. Yes. So there are some types made specifically for children.
Yes.
And
some are also made for adults.
And if he rides, here was my point to him. If you're riding on the left side of the road to avoid getting hit by a car, then you're somewhat concerned about getting hit by a car. So why the hell won't you wear a helmet? Like, you can't have it both ways, right? And it goes to the be predictable part. If cars know that you're there and it's a predictable thing. In San Luis Obispo County, there are cyclists who do get hit. But generally speaking, well, and the one in Morro Bay, that's a road I ride on all the time. So whatever. But there's thousands of cyclists in the county that ride all the time. If you ride up and down Highway 1 on any day, if you drive up and down Highway 1, you see, you know, hundreds of cyclists potentially on any given day between San Luis and Cambria or San Luis and San Simeon.
There was one day when I was living in Cayucas where I drove down Highway 1 and there was a ton of cyclists. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And someone goes, it's Tour of California.
Oh, yeah. That'll do that. that'll be something.
I was trying to get to the hardware store and they shut down the highway. And I'm like, what's going on? This is like days after I moved here.
Okay, so you didn't have like the complete sports schedule then at that point.
No, I had literally just moved in. I don't even think I'd started work yet, and I just was there, and I was like wanted to hang a picture, and I drive down the road and try to get to the hardware store in Morro Bay. It was blocked off. I'm like, what is this?
Right. And I thought the best comment. It was like there were probably like 15 or 20 comments on my post, and I thought the best one is apparently logic is dead. That's from another guy I went to elementary school with who is a vet in the area. So, logic
is
dead.
It's not dead, Owen. It lives on in you.
Maybe only in me.
Yes.
Which means it's not logic anymore.
It's you and your daughter are the only ones who have logic.
If you are the only one who understands logic, then it's not logic anymore. Because isn't like the definition, I don't know. I feel like the definition of logic on some level is that like it's something that other people can figure out too.
That's common sense.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So common sense is dead.
Yes. Okay. Maybe that's a better comment. Maybe I should log on Facebook and I should post.
Actually.
Actually, Denver, common sense is dead.
Yeah, it was Michael that said that.
Sorry,
yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, Michael Lyon.
Ooh, we're going out full first and last names without written permission?
Oh, Mike's, yeah, I think we're probably okay.
Wow.
I don't know. Is that okay? Is that okay with you?
I'm calling out names. Well, we'll be able to see like if you beep that out on the final version.
I will not.
If you hear the podcast and there's a beep
and,
from Michael, then you'll know.
And here's what I'll know. If
you wussed out.
If Michael tells me that, hey, I heard you use my name on your podcast, then we'll know our saturation level in San Luis Obispo. In the city and county.
Well, for episode 3, I'm sure we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're doing pretty good. Like, I think we could build a fan base here. Like, we could.
Yeah.
This is listenable.
That's the idea.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yeah. We're not just doing it so we can listen to it on the pot and then come up with more poop news.
there's no poop news today, is there?
Well, we'll see. Well, I'm not going to reveal.
Oh. Do we want to go to regular news, slow news day?
Slow news day? Well, hold on. Let's tell the airport story. Let's get one airport story each. Actually, I'm going to get two real quick ones.
Yeah.
The first one, I was in the airport yesterday, and I'm walking through Denver. And you know how sometimes, you know, there's lots of people walking in different directions, and especially opposite directions? You get caught up with somebody, you look them in the eye, and they go one way, and you go that way. And then you kind of do the dance of, like, you know, which way do I go?
Who's going what way?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that happened, kind of. I was walking one way, and I see someone else walking towards me, but I didn't look them in the face. So it wasn't one of those, like, I wasn't even paying attention to this person. I didn't think...
You're just, like, looking at the ground or something.
No, I was looking straight up, but I wasn't looking at them, and I wasn't even in their path, and all of a sudden this person starts doing the dance, and it was like a solo dance, and I'm like thinking in my head, wait, this takes two to tango, and I'm not involved in this.
You're like, I'm not tangoing.
I didn't move. I just walked straight. I didn't change my
or make eye contact.
No, I didn't look at him.
You just kept your head down.
No, I looked straight ahead, but I didn't look at him. He was kind of off to this side. I never looked at him. I never wavered. I kept going straight. And this guy was doing the dance this way, and then this way, and then this way. He did it three times.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what was that for?
He juked himself out.
I guess. Yeah. It was really bizarre. Has that ever happened to you?
No, not when I'm not actually going at somebody. And when it does happen, I put my head down and, like, veer away. Yeah, like, I just go, like, away somewhere else, I think,
it was
when,
like,
it happens.
It was like a huge, to me, it was like a battleship going up against a tugboat. And I was just going, I wasn't, you know, changing direction.
You were the battleship.
This guy was just like, didn't know what to do. Yeah, totally.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that was just, I just wanted to know if that had ever happened to you.
That's never happened to me in that way. Like, I do feel like, though, there are some times in the airport where I'm like, I'm going to walk down, because in Denver, it's like a mile long. And I say to myself, I'm going to walk down this whole thing, and I'm just going to, like, people watch along the way. So I'll, like, you know, my head will be on a swivel. I'll be, like, you know, looking at people and whatever, because who cares? It's the airport. Yeah, you can people,
like,
watch.
Let's see. Who doesn't have logic here? Who's missing common sense? Yeah. I'm going to remember this.
I will. Yeah, I mean, I'm like I told you, I'm, like, a little hypervigilant. So so that's not something that, like, escapes me when, like, people yes. are, you know, who's camping out at all the at the plug. There was a lady who had a this isn't even my story, like, but there was a guy who brought a power strip that he plugged into the thing so that everybody could, like, use it. Nice. He had a power strip at the airport. I thought that was an interesting
thing.
That's
cool. I've seen this thing where you can plug it into the outlet, and it's a USB
squid.
Not a
like
squid.
An octopus.
Not a squid, but like a
USB power strip
for USBs. Yeah, like a USB port kind of thing. And I'm like, how cool would that be? Like, you would be the hero of the universe if you showed up at the airport with that thing.
Yeah.
And they don't seem that expensive. Maybe I'll get one just to make friends.
I have a 2 USB port car charger that I use, so that's, like, a little bit of that.
So
but
you
yeah.
can make friends with someone who's in your car.
Yeah, or my wife doesn't get mad at me for charging my phone while she's listening to music or something. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So anyways, here's my story. Get this. I flew out of Santa Maria.
Yep.
And I get there like an hour before. We go through security and everything. We're sitting down there waiting for the plane to taxi, and we can, you know, load up or whatever. And I'm sitting there reading, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a woman walking towards the door that leads to the outside, like where the runway is. And I hear people and they're yelling, "No, no, no!" Because she's it was this really elderly woman.
She's about to open the door to the outside, and the alarms are going to go off.
Yes, exactly. And oh, she God. Looks like the plane isn't ready yet. There's nobody even over there. There's no airline.
Oh my God.
Over there. The door is completely unguarded.
Is it the airlines that are saying no, or is it
the people sitting there are yelling no
in, like, slow motion?
Yeah, like, no. And this lady's like I would say she would, if I had to guess, like 80 years old. Like, totally, she looked kind of, like, out of it. Like, she didn't know what was going on. Like,
right.
Like, you know, sometimes you hear those stories about old people that just kind of, like, get up and walk out of their house and just disappear. And,
right.
you know, and then they're looking for them because they have dementia or whatever.
Uh-huh.
this woman had that kind of a look to her. Like, she had no clue what was going on or where she was. And she's walking towards the door, and everyone's like, no, no. She just straight up opens the door, walks down the stairs, out to the airfield. The alarm starts going off. The security guards start running over out there, and they're like, "Ma'am, ma'am, ma'am!" Everyone's like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" Of course, everyone, even people who weren't paying attention, are, you know, aroused by this, alarm going off, and everyone's like scared and doesn't know what's happening. They get her and they pull her out, and they're like, "Okay, ma'am, now you have to come back out and go through security again, you know, whatever." So they take her away, and everyone's like, "Phew," you know, like, "Oh, okay, we dodged a bullet there on that one." So then,
a potential terrorist bullet.
Yeah, terrorist threat of 80-year-old woman with dementia. And so everyone goes back to what they're doing, right? Like, I'm like, whatever. I go back, start reading again. Literally 5 minutes later, she's doing the same exact thing at the same yet still unguarded door where nobody is.
And nobody's still paying attention to her.
Nobody's paying attention to her. She's right back there walking out the same door, going down the same stairs out to the runway.
Ladies and gentlemen, United States Airport Security.
Yeah, like, exactly. This is... Exactly. I'm like, wait, last week I was getting the pat down and was being accused of having explosive residue, and they just let anyone and their mom, like, go walk out the door that allegedly has a... Oh, that's my phone ringing.
You can go get it.
No, it's fine. We'll let it go to voicemail.
Did a little dance with it. Wow. It's like an interlude. I don't even know if that's allowed. If that's a real song, I don't even know if that's allowed.
Oh, because we might have to pay royalties for putting it
out. I don't know.
It was just, it came with the phone. Okay. It wasn't like
then
a...
Then you're good.
Then you're golden.
It's royalty free.
Yeah, then you're golden.
Yeah, I won't tell people what brand of phone I have that
ooh,
way.
Ooh.
That way the makers won't get on me for the podcast of three people listening.
I know. Yeah, like 2.5.
So this one walks right out the door a second time.
The alarms go off.
The alarm went off again. Everyone's like, no, 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 no. And does she listen? No. You know, I mean, of course, I don't know if she could even hear everyone screaming no. It was like a train wreck part two on an existing train wreck that was still being cleaned up.
Like another train came barreling down the
tracks from the other direction and smashed into it.
No, it was like they picked up the same train and just ran it down the tracks a little bit more and then let it run right back into the wreck. It was ridiculous. And then so they bring her in, and then I could kind of hear her, and she's like, how am I going to get to the plane? And like, I think there were people with her telling her, get on the plane.
If there
like
are people with her, how do they let her do this in the first place?
She was traveling by herself, I think, but there were like family members outside of security that were like, okay, granny, go to the plane now. And then she just was walking out the door thinking she was supposed to get on the plane. And then when she came back, they go, okay, granny, go on the plane now. Then they bring her back a second time. And I hear the family members saying, like, aren't you getting on the plane? And she said, they won't let me. And then I heard her say, when she came back a third time into the room, everyone was, like, blocking the door this time. Like, they had learned their lesson, I guess, two times. She was confused because she thought everyone was already on the plane. Oh.
I mean, it's kind of sad on some level, but it's sad. It's sad on multiple layers. It's sad because people with dementia
because she didn't understand.
That's sad. But it's also sad that it took the TSA three tries to get it right here. Like, it doesn't surprise me. It's just sad.
Yes.
Right?
It's a huge lack in what's the word I'm looking for?
Lapse
in security, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like last week when we walked into the New Mexico State football stadium and there was nobody taking tickets. Yet they were doing a bomb sweep in the press box, but there's nobody taking tickets.
Well, it is the Cal. You are the Cal Poly reporter.
Yes, Cal Poly. Now Cal Poly's reputation precedes this. Did you ever think about this in regards to your bike story? Maybe the guy was on the drugs.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've had a meth head try to break into my truck before, and I had to.
And now you've had one try to fight you in the middle of the street.
I don't think it was a meth head. I think he was just a dude who just doesn't know what's going on. I don't even know
Well, let's profile him. How old was this guy? I'm assuming since it's slow that he was Caucasian.
Yeah. He was like 40, I want to say. I feel like he had like dark hair.
Was he recreationally riding his bike? Or was he riding his bike because like that's all he had in his life?
I don't know. It was really hard for me
to
pin down.
Recreational bike riders.
He didn't have like
take it serious because they have like the Lance Armstrong gear and stuff.
You have your cycling, your bib or something like that. You know,
was he a cycling enthusiast?
No, he was just a guy on a bike who didn't know what he was doing, and I was trying to help him.
Was he a guy on a bike because he liked riding a bike, or is he a guy on a bike because his license was revoked for drug related?
Or somewhere in between. Yeah, good. It's a good question. He didn't have any like bags with him or anything, so I could, you know, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had just got up and ridden his bike down to the store to buy a pack of cigarettes or something.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because it was 7:30 in the morning.
He was one of those cigarette smokers, which we also,
I don't know if he was. I'm
which
just
we
saying.
Also don't like in slow.
I mean,
isn't there there's a law like, right? There's no smoking in public in San Luis.
Correct.
Oslo?
Correct.
No smoking in public.
Correct. Which is not the law here, because I was just downstairs in the lobby eating breakfast and some guy came inside from outside and obviously he'd been smoking and like I started sneezing and like
did he blow it in your face?
I don't know, but I could it was like heavy smell. I was sneezing downstairs in the breakfast place.
Yeah, I was telling you the story last night about how when I was in college, a bunch of us from the college newspaper at Fresno State went to Vegas for a journalism convention. Well, at one point the big group of us went to 7-Eleven. I don't even know what we were getting there, sodas or something. and we were waiting in line, and you know, in California, it's illegal to like smoke indoors in a restaurant and like that kind of stuff. But in Vegas, it's like all
good. You can, jungle rules.
Yeah, jungle rules, totally. So we were all used to not being able to smoke inside. Well, we're in line at 7-Eleven, and there's this big like biker looking dude smoking in front of us, and he goes like this, and he's like, takes a toke on the cigarette, and then he angles his lips
back towards you
behind him, so he blows the smoke like, and it goes like around his ear and directly into my friend's face,
like a trick shot, like a trick shot in pool.
Yeah, it was a total trick smoke, and he just goes like that directly into my friend's face, and my friend was like a 130-pound, you know, weakling. He had had a brain aneurysm, and so he was developmentally kind of you know, underweight, and he made the biggest like angry face right at this guy, and he was like,
right.
And I'm like, oh my god, this biker dude is going to like
break kill my friend
in half over a puff of smoke. I immediately got him, and I'm like, dude, don't make that face.
Yeah, we don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like it. So I have just one like kind of funny story, and it has to do with people watching yesterday.
Hold on. Go ahead. Did your airport story happen yesterday while we were flying?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Good. And I texted somebody about it, so he'll back me up on this one.
So there's a firestorm brewing already over that one too.
Right now, the FIBA World Cup is happening, and so I knew it wasn't the guy that it kind of looked like when he got on the plane.
Wait, FIBA? What is that?
It's the like FIFA for basketball.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. FIBA.
Yes.
I think it's French. There's like Fédération Internationale Basketball Association.
FIBA.
so the FIBA World Cup's going on, but this guy got on the plane, and I was like, that guy's too short to be Pau Gasol, but that he looks a lot like Pau Gasol, and
maybe it was Marc Gasol.
Well, Marc also is playing for Spain. I didn't realize
there's a younger brother that plays for UCLA. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it could have been him. So honestly, it could have been him.
Okay,
it could have been him.
Let me
I think
find
he
him.
Played for UCLA. I don't know if he still does.
Let's see.
But I think he played for UCLA because like Pau was in LA and he probably just lived with Pau or something. But I knew it wasn't him, but he looked a lot like him. And by the time I had looked at him a few times, he's only like 6'3" maybe. And by the time I looked at him a few times, I realized who he was. He was a cross between Pau Gasol and our friend at Cal Poly Media Relations by the name of Chris Giovanetti. He was a Pau Gasol / Givo mix. And I texted Givo about it. And Giovanetti's response was, "What part of Europe are you traveling in right now?" Because Giovanetti is an obviously Italian. Right. And he had like some Italian features, and Pau Gasol's, you know, got some kind of dark Spaniard features. So I thought that was just an interesting mix there. And then I continued to walk down the walkway at Denver International, and this guy passed me, and he was Don Oberhelman. If Don Oberhelman was like 10 years older and like 500 pounds.
That's what they say. That's what they say about people. Everybody has a twin that looks 10 years older and 500 pounds somewhere in the world.
Yeah, it was like a doppelganger. I was like, dude, that's like when it all went downhill or something for Don. I don't know, but it was funny. And then I thought to myself, I must just have Cal Poly on the mind, because I'm just like seeing random people from Cal Poly Athletics like in the airport that I'm like connecting faces to. So yes. I don't know what that says about me and where my head's at this weekend, being out here, you know, following Cal Poly football out to South Dakota. But there you go. JD's looking up the – let me see him.
Adrià Gasol.
Let me see him.
He's not 6'3". He's 6'10".
Yeah, it wasn't him.
Okay.
If he's 6'10", it was not him. Is he still on the team?
Let's see. 2012-2013, he joined the team as a walk-on but did not play. And that's all it has.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have – they haven't updated the 13-14.
I feel like – maybe they just haven't updated it. Maybe.
Or maybe they did update 13-14 and I'm just looking at an old page.
At the old page, right? Because you can still find old pages of other Cal Poly players.
Maybe he was a walk-on. He wasn't a scholarship guy, so maybe he just didn't make the grade.
But also, if you're a walk-on guy – like, you could also have just said, hey, my brother's Pau Gasol, so he can pay for me to go to college and I can live with him.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. ... Right?
Totally.
Like,
totally.
Pau's probably got
I'm
a place.
Sure, that's how he got on the team. I mean, if I was running a college basketball team and somebody came in and said, I'm the brother of Mark and Pau Gasol.
And I'm 6'10". And I'm 6'10".
Take him.
And you don't have to give me a scholarship. I just want to go to school here and be on the team.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a no-lose situation right there, if you ask me. Unless the guy's like a bad citizen.
Right.
And the Gasol brothers are generally like not known for that. So
no.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's your story? The story is that you saw people that looked
like
people
you know.
I saw
two people that look exactly like people I know. Also, I guess I could talk about, because I badmouth them a lot. I fly United a lot.
Are you giving a testimonial?
No, I'm just saying.
I just love doing testimonials because there's so many good airlines out there to promote.
I'm simply saying that I've given them a really hard time in the past, but the Wi-Fi system that they have there is decent in some of the airplanes.
You were telling me about this yesterday.
Right, is decent in some of their airplanes. So as soon as they get them in all the airplanes, they've been talking about it for the last 8 years. We haven't seen anything happen for 8 years. It was the first time I experienced the Wi-Fi system on the new United, and so it was good. I just hope that they get it on all of them faster. With that in mind, are you now ready? That was my bad airport story.
Oh, so every week we bring you a segment called Slow News Day, where we take the best, most interesting, coolest news from the Central Coast. I'm not going to limit it just to Slow County, but the Central Coast, even though it's called Slow News Day, and we discuss right here on the show how pertinent and important this must-know information is. And like I said, last week we also...
And you should have a good idea about what the news is since you work at a newspaper.
Yes, sanluisobispo.com.
The San Luis Obispo Tribune.
Yes, it's a media company, not a newspaper.
Oh, good one. Good one. Is that a new like term in the last, what, 5 years? 10 years?
Well, I mean, our website is a pretty big... It's kind of like a big deal.
Yeah.
It has lots of mahogany... And weather
has many leather-bound books, and the offices smell of rich mahogany.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but
No, the website smells that way, not the offices.
The website.
Yeah.
So for people our age, like I feel like even online-only newspapers, I'm still calling newspapers.
Yeah.
Really weird, right? Like, anything that used to be a newspaper, in any form, I still call it the paper.
Yeah.
Like, well, what does the paper say about it?
There's a lot of terms like that out there since the digital age where we still refer to them as something that they're not based on like an old
term. Well, we still call movies movies, and movie is short for moving picture, right?
Well, that
right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
yes, that's
yeah.
exactly what I was getting at. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. On some level, I
was thinking more like tune in, you know, like that's still a thing that you say, like tune in to.
But I don't think they say it that much anymore. Like, I feel like it's a...
Well, nobody is using antennas with tuners. We're all, you know, on cable or, you know...
We're not using radio, right? Antennas, right?
Yeah.
With, like, a dial where you tune it right in.
It's not necessarily tuning anymore. But, like, that's just one example. Like, there's lots of... If you think of something about it, there's a ton of, like, you know, words like that we use that are totally outdated.
And it's especially around, I think, media-type things that do get updated so often. And we have these cultural things that we have around, like you said, tuning in or whatever, that become, you know, these culturally relevant things over time that don't necessarily mean anything anymore. But because culturally they do. I mean, like there's tons of stuff my grandpa used to say that I don't say phrases that seem
like
old timey.
Racial slurs?
No, not like racial slurs. No, not at all. to be abundantly clear, no.
Well, but, you don't say them.
No, but he did. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. All
but
right. Sorry, Grandpa Hurricane.
So
I apologize.
But the
you were a pioneer of your time.
I don't know. Yeah. But the point being, I think in like 10 years, the kids will think about the words like tune in or like there will be some words that even go away and seem that old timey for them.
Yeah.
All right. Totally. So we got our slow news day.
Yes. And so you remember last week when we were talking about how, you know, some people can't hold their potty and I was saying about how it was like a mental block and like,
yeah, it's all mental for you.
Remember how you were telling me that that you will hold it if you don't think that the toilet is clean enough?
If I'm in like an airport or a public restroom that like somebody has pooped all over or something. Yeah. Yes. No, I'm not going to I'm not going to go out of my way to like clean. Here's like a good rule of thumb. If you go into like two airport bathrooms and there's like 10 stalls in each and all of them are just filthy, then it's probably not your day, and you probably just need to wait till you get to the next city.
Yes. So you, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, remember how you
yes,
said.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. Remember how you said, if the bathroom's not clean enough, you'll hold it and not use it.
Yep.
Hold on. I forgot the point of what I, you see, you scared me. You came at me like, don't question me, bro. The toilet has poop on it.
I did the equivalent of getting off my bicycle and raising my hands and saying, what, do you want to fight me or something?
Yes.
Yes, I remember when you told me that.
Yes. Okay. So, anyways, this is relevant somehow. I just have to get my train of thought here.
While JD gets his train of thought, I'm gonna tell you that if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Owen Main or at Fansmanship. You can go to Facebook.com/Fansmanship for our Fansmanship podcast. You can also find that on both iTunes and on Stitcher Smart Radio, both of which I'm doing some work to try to get the Hurricane Scroggs podcast up on as well. Are we back?
We're ready to go. Okay. Ready to go. Okay, I'm ready. So I was wondering if you had that same idea about porta potties. If you will you use a porta potty
for number one? Yeah,
you will not.
I don't poop in porta potties unless I like unless there's like, listen, I can barely spend like 40 seconds in that thing, like whatever's long enough to go pee, like to poop in a porta potty. No.
See, I'm more like if I come up against it and it's like the poop needs to come out, like I'll just let it go. If it's somewhere, because I think of it this way, like no matter how dirty or like whatever your views might be on this porta potty, the smell or whatever, there's no way it's any worse than like the Dark Ages in Europe when there was like the bubonic plague was killing 90% of people and there was poop in the streets and stuff.
You're right, it's not worse, but I would argue that we don't live in the 18th century anymore.
I know, but what if some like time stream problem happened? What if Doc Brown pulled up to you in the DeLorean and he was like,
Your
ancestors, Owen, we've got to go back to the past. There's something we got to take care of. And you're like, okay, fine, let's go.
And then like, this is heavy, Doc.
Yes. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're in the Dark Ages.
Like the movie timeline.
Yes. There's a task you have to do. You went back to the Dark Ages for a reason with Doc. There's something you have to do. You can't sit there and whine about the facilities.
No, of course not. You just have to deal with it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Of course you would. Just like when you go camping, you don't take a shower for like 3 days. You just deal with the funk. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. You know, you just have to get your head past it. There's actually a movie timeline where they go back to like the like medieval times. It's a Michael Crichton book. The movie kind of fell super flat, but the book was better. And that's what they did. They like went back. And
yeah.
And those are some things that you got to think about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. These are important topics of our generation.
Yeah. So with that in mind, okay. I have to say this. Now I'm going to segue here kind of awkwardly, but remember in like the heart of the Great Recession, there were all these stories about
the 2009.
Yes. Yeah. There were all these stories about like businesses that were somehow recession proof. Like this, you know, and every once in a while you would see these stories like this business is recession proof.
Right.
This business is recession proof. Well, we are now in the midst of a great drought in California, and the Tribune at sanluisobispo.com did a business story. Actually, this came from the Cambrian. Oh, so yeah. This is North like your neck of the woods,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Cambrian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lady Tie-Dye.
A business that is drought resistant.
Ooh.
Which is Harvey's Honey Huts.
Yeah, the
Honey headline Huts. Says, drought keeps Harvey's Honey Huts busy on parched coast. And what the story basically says is that people who are throwing parties and events and stuff because of the drought, instead of having, you know, whatever, a backyard barbecue where all these people come over and then everyone wants to pee in your toilet and your toilet gets flushed 100 times in a night.
Like happened to me probably at my baby's first birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
These people, instead of having their toilet flushed a bunch of times, are going to this porta potty business.
Yeah. Harvey's Honey Huts.
Getting a honey hut. It's like an interesting term too, because like I'd never heard this before I read this story. But then I like immediately after I heard it, I was listening to a podcast somewhere else, uh-huh, and they said it. Like apparently, this honey hut isn't like a.
So
it's not a unique term.
I'll tell you actually.
They use it in like Hollywood as well. Like that's what they call, like on movie sets, they call not honey huts, but it was honey pots or
honey
something
pot
like
guy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like in Alaska, because things are so cold, things become like solid very quickly too. And so, or they are somewhere in between liquid and solid too. So like, it's this idea that like, you have to go outside to go, because like not all the places have running water or whatever.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have like a heater on in there. You have like, you know, you're trying to stay warm while you're in there. And honey pots is what they call them up there.
Yes.
Like that's a pretty common deal in rural Alaska. Maybe it's rural United States in general, but I know, yes, in Alaska they used to talk about like honey pots and stuff, and it made sense.
That's going to become a problem too with the drought. Like if your wee looks like honey, you need to drink some more water.
That is correct. But that is correct.
We're also in a drought.
That's just generally, that's just a general good rule to follow.
Yeah.
I have to tell you too that my fantasy baseball team, because I had Matt Harvey last year, was actually called Harvey's Honey Huts.
Nice.
Because they were really bad, and they went in the pooper. So like at the end. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go. That was. That
so
was
you named
happened.
Him that before the season or after the season?
During the season.
Oh, it was
I always name my team
name switch.
I usually name my team after like a guy on my team. So like I had Jolies Shashin, who was a pitcher for the Rockies a couple years ago, and so my team was called Orange Jolies, like Orange Julius, because it's spelled kind of like Julius. And then I've had like the Brawny Men, because I have Ryan Braun, and of course Harvey's Honey Huts, because Matt Harvey was amazing last year. He's a pitcher for the Mets. So go ahead. Yes. So tell me the story about the Honey Huts.
So anyways, there's a story about these people from Cambria. So like local
business owners.
Local business owner,
yeah,
does good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a story that you, yeah, and all of your Cayucos brethren are happy
Cambria
about.
Yeah.
Your Coast Union peeps. And let me see here. Like I said, these people are like, it's a booming industry all of a sudden because people don't want other people using their toilets anymore. So they're getting these events, I'm sure weddings and all that kind of stuff. They're using these honey huts instead. And it says here, during the drought, although they declined to disclose annual revenues or profits for the family-owned firm, they said they've brought about 120 new toilets since January, plus 30 hand wash units.
Right, and these hand wash units are, I think, the revolution in the porta potty industry. Because
is that what's going to convince you to poop in them?
Maybe, but like they've spruced them up on the inside. Like a porta potty back in the day was like not a pretty picture, but you know, there's definitely some things about them that they've added, you know, whether it's the like sanitizing lotion soap that just evaporates, you know, that you can utilize in there or whatever. It does make you feel a little bit better about like, you know, opening the door after you're done.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Maybe one day soon you will go number two.
No, I will not ever. I was also going to say that because this is a Cambria like thing, a Cambria owned business. And so like you see a lot of these things in the North Coast growing up, like that's what a porta potty was. It was a Harvey's Honey Hut. Like these guys have been
that's
around for a long time.
Name. You know, it's like Pepsi.
Kleenex. Yeah. It's a Honey Hut. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so also, you know, when you're in high school, you know, people who brag about like, oh, I tipped over porta potty yesterday, because when you grow up, so like,
so instead of cow tipping, you went honey hut tipping.
I didn't. No, I definitely didn't.
No.
But people would.
The kind of people who cross the street without looking on their bike are the ones that were doing this.
Those, yeah, yeah, the yeah, probably the exact same people. Probably that's how
probably
that guy
was. That one guy.
Probably that was his first like venture,
yes,
into being dumb.
Yes.
And then over
honey
time,
hut tipping was a gateway drug to crossing the street on your bike without looking.
And I'm sure there's lots of other drugs in between, but yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And in San Luis Obispo County, that's how it goes. But I love the fact that there's like a business like this that does well, that
it's booming in the drought.
That's needed.
The story.
Yeah. That's needed. That's, you know, that's local. You know, you see like, you know, big trash companies and big, like, you know, companies take over other types of business, but it's really cool to see that, you know, there's a local one that can thrive like that.
For sure.
Yeah. So that's our
slow news day.
That's our slow news day / poop news for the week.
Oh God. Yeah. It's it's a combo. Great.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's what I got. That's all I got. Anything else?
Okay.
Important to know?
Yeah, I think we can probably bring it home and wrap it up here. You can
have we set our links yet?
Yeah, JD Scroggin can be found at Slow College Beat, SLO College Beat on Twitter. He can also be found at rebelmouse.com/JD Scroggin, right?
Yep.
And also at sanluisobispo.com. Or if you're at your local 7-Eleven in San Luis Obispo and you see a Tribune newspaper, you may want to pick one up. It has some cool articles, and especially on game day like today, there's definitely some nice, you know, feature kind of graphics. And how would you describe some of the stuff in there?
Oh, we have a game day page every game day. It's usually Saturday, but last week it was Thursday. And it's a full page of statistics and depth chart and information on Cal Poly and, you know, who's going to play that day and who's injured. Yeah. We also try to put a little feature in there about the opposing team. And we have a little graphic up at the top that says, like, hey, you never heard of South Dakota State? Well, here's some, you know, little
tidbits.
Yeah, tidbits on sort of what they're all about, where they're from, and who their, you know, famous alumni are. And
don't guess. Don't go online. Let JD do the work for you. Yeah. Pick up a paper and see this page, and it's a really good thing, I think.
Totally. I'm doing the work anyway, so you might as well just look at it.
So let him, and yeah, look at it. And it's really easily digestible, too. In this day and age, that's a really important thing. Even though it's on a piece of paper, it's really good to look at. And again, sanluisobispo.com. You can find all that content there usually as well. You can find me on fansmanship.com, at fansmanship. You can also find the pictures that I take at photos.fansmanship.com. And other than that, JD, I think we're ready to head out to the game.
Right on. Sounds good.
Yeah, have a good game, and have a good week, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yep, live. This has been live from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. At 10 a.m. I kick it off with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop 8 pills of Imodium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. Wax my tech, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits. You know it. Custom Crocs caress my feet. Yes. Pre-game checklist now complete. Ha. Tweet some tweets, blog some blogs, all while mobbing on my horn. Hit the store for potty essentials, scented candles and damn dentals. Fashionably late, ha. I'm never tardy, cause guess what, bitches? This is how I party. Is for pussies, so I keep going. I give a lap dance to leave from these towing. Then it's time for indoor soccer with the lights off in the storage locker. Next safe sex, no STDs. Oh, yes. Gotta keep it on lockdown. Banker, please. Sit in a koozie till we get pruny. Rehearse lines from films of George Clooney. Schmeal my head with macaroni and cheese. Then I get it licked off by my Maltese. Oh, yes. I fill my fish tank with pure Bacardi. Cause guess what, fishes? This is how I party. Party.